Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Limited Q3 FY10 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Financial Services. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need any assistance during the conference, you may signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Shirish Pardeshi of Anand Rathi Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi Financial Services, I welcome you on the con call for 3Q FY10 earnings call hosted by us. Fortunately, we are happy, and we have Mr. Sachin Gopal, who's the President and CEO for Agrotech Foods, accompanied by Mr. Hemant Kumar Rohia, who's the CFO. And I think I would now hand over to Mr. Sachin Gopal for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Okay, thanks very much, Shirish, and good afternoon, everybody. And thank you for taking out the time to be with us on today's call. We'll try and give you a top-line perspective of the quarter three results. So first of all, we continue to see a strong recovery in the top line in terms of net sales in quarter three relative to quarter two of the current year. Although net sales for the quarter of quarter three versus prior year quarter three were down about 4%, net sales on a quarter-to-quarter basis were up about 8% relative to quarter two of the current year. We had a good performance in both of the key product lines which we are focusing on, both on oils and on Act II popcorn. As you're aware, we don't share precise figures on volumes, but we did commit to a significantly increased investment behind Act II popcorn in the months of November, December, which was visible as well, both in terms of in-market media support and in terms of in-store visibility, display, and distribution. And that contributed to a significant improvement in further growth in popcorn volumes and therefore also on the P&L of the company. We also continue to see a strong gross margin. As most of you would be aware, we define gross margin as net sales less the cost of goods but before A&P expenses. And that's something that we track very, very closely as a company. And our gross margin for the quarter, this quarter, was around 42 crores, which is approximately about 24% of net sales. And gross margin, therefore, growth over the prior year would be about 16%. SG&A continues to be an area of focus with us. And though you may not see the total SG&A in the P&L, I think you will see in the P&L the employee cost line, which, as you would have seen, is virtually very, very similar to prior year. So which means that even though we have added more feet on the street, the fact is that versus prior year, where there were some other one-time expenses, we've managed to keep the total employee cost at the same level as what it was 12 months ago. As a consequence, therefore, of a good growth in gross margin, reasonable investment in A&P spends, which improved further, but I would say a reasonably well-controlled SG&A, profit before tax for the quarter grew by about 44% versus prior year. And however, we have now entered into what one could call a normalized tax zone. And as a consequence, therefore, the profit after tax growth that we were able to deliver was some 21% versus last year. Cumulatively as well, our PAT growth for the first 9 months of the year will stand in about between 20%-21%. One other point that we wish to comment upon in the current quarterly call is the fact that you would have noticed from the advertisement for the P&L that the percentage shareholding of the promoters went down by about 2 percentage points. So ITC, which has always been a significant shareholder in the company, had informed us during the month of December that they had reduced their shareholding in the company by about 2 percentage points from 16.88%-14.88%. I think that's pretty much it in terms of the overall financial results and the overview. Hemant, is there something you'd like to add? can hand over to you, or else then Shirish, we can take any questions and, you know, answer them to the best of our ability.
No, I'm okay. Shirish, you can take the question.
Yeah, Farah, can you open the Q&A?
Sure, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. If you decide you want to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants with questions may press star and one now. The first question comes from the line of Ritesh Poladia from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir, and good sets of numbers, sir. My question pertains to raw mat to sales is constant at about 70%. However, sequentially, institution business have grown from about 22 crore to 27 crore. So have we experienced a gross margin expansion in the key business of Sundrop?
Just bear with us. Yeah, the actual of the SIB was 27 crores. That's right. Yes, and your question was?
So have we experienced gross margin expansion in Sundrop business?
We have experienced gross margin improvement across the board.
Okay.
Not just on Sundrop. As I mentioned to you, because we also had a significant growth in popcorn volumes, so okay, that has also been a contributor to the gross margin growth.
Okay, because I guess Sundrop was launched in this gold light low price variant also.
Yes.
So the gross margin expansion on the back of low price variant would be really heartening. So even we have experienced... means my question was because of this low price variant.
Okay. I think I understand your question now. Let me articulate an answer to that. The lower price variant definitely makes far less margin than does the more expensive variant, right?
Okay.
However, the margin improvement relative to prior year is on the back of the entire portfolio.
Okay.
Right? So it will be a combination of all the oils within the Sundrop portfolio, not just the Gold Light. The volume improvement could be driven more by Gold Light, right? But not the gross margin improvement.
Okay. And our selling and administrative expenses also sequentially has remained at about 17.5 crore. However, this quarter, I presume that a large portion was for the new products and for the Act 2. So would it be going forward also that now new products will have a higher share of advertisement proportion?
Okay. Were you referring to the advertisement and promotion line in the P&L?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because we don't normally give the selling and administrative line. So it's the A&P one. Am I on the same page?
Yes.
Okay, great. See, the A&P expenses, the increase in investment in A&P relative to prior year would be primarily in the area of oils, popcorn, and to some extent there was also an investment made behind the pudding, snack break pudding that we launched in quarter three of last year.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Having said that, as you would recall, we had mentioned earlier that... Our philosophy is that while we will invest in the new products that we launch, we will make those investments judiciously.
Okay.
Because at this point in time, those are not driving the P&L of the company. So a large part of the investment in quarter three was made behind popcorn. In addition to that, a significant investment was made behind oils, and there was some investment behind the new products that we launched last year. We expect this to continue to be the case going forward, where a disproportionate share of our investments will be behind driving popcorn, driving market share in the oils, and judiciously making investments in new products, which will be important and influence the P&L of the company in a 3 to 5 year time span, but not necessarily tomorrow morning.
Okay. And any comment on the new products of peanut butter and... Snack pack, is this making money or losing money?
At this point in time, as you will recall, we had said that currently we are importing the peanut butter and the pudding. The peanut butter we import and we actually make a per unit loss right now when we sell the product. Our expectation is though that when we localize the production of this product, it will make a margin, and we have always maintained a reasonable margin, let's say north of the 30% mark.
Okay.
On the pudding, we actually don't lose any money per piece. I won't be able to tell you how much money we make.
Okay.
But certainly, yes, after advertising and promotional expenses, there will be a negative charge on the P&L on both the products.
Okay.
Right? Once again, that's part of our plan, and that's why I said we spend judiciously, because we recognize the fact that we have to start introducing new products in the market to be able to understand in due course what is likely to be our next big bet for the pop company after popcorn. So, however, at this point in time, we are unwilling to make any capital expenditure or set up a plant and machinery till we are really sure about the exact size of price.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Sir, last question. Now, tax margin would be on the normal course, or again, we'll have some benefits?
I think on an ongoing basis, you can expect to see that we will be hitting the normalized rate of taxation. There may be a quarter here or there where, you know, there could be some possibility of some one-time benefits, but on a normalized basis, it will be on an ongoing basis, it will be normalized.
That's all from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Paladia. The next question comes from line of Siddharth Shah from JM Financial Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, I just wanted to know what would be the trend on the gross margin for the oil business going forward, given that price of raw material is going up across the board. So any finished product price hikes, or what would be the trend in the next couple of quarters or for FY11, sir?
We certainly expect to see and are also currently seeing some pressures in terms of upward movement in commodity prices. You know, and there have been some ups and downs, right? Commodity prices moved up in December. There's been a little softening in January, right? And there are multiple reasons given for that, which, you know, I'm sure you read as much as I do. But net-net, I think we are seeing and expect to see some pressure on margins in the near term. The exact, shall we say, pricing decision that we'll take is something that I won't be able to comment on right now. But suffice it to say that in the next 12 to 18 months, we expect growth in margin more to be driven by product mix and volume rather than to be able to generate a growth in margin through just pricing.
So, sir, this gross margins of around about 30% that we're clocking right now, we expect to maintain this level, or they'll go up by the product mix in the next four quarters?
Are you referring to the total company gross margin, or was there a specific?
Yeah, the overall company gross margins.
Okay. See, the total company gross margin is right now about 24%.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what I mentioned in the opening remarks, and I think if you do the numbers, you'll find more or less that is the case. We would certainly like to see a continued improvement in margin. As you are aware, we had set a goal 2 years ago or 3 years ago where we said when our margin was less than 10%, and we said that, you know, we will gradually move from 10 to 20, 20 to 30, and 30 to 40. That goal, I think, remains, continues to be there in our mind. So we are currently at 24%. At this point in time, though, the glide path from 24 to 30% is something that we are working on, right? Which is why I said our expectation is that there will be more, the future margin improvement will be driven by more product mix and volume, and not so much through pricing.
Okay, sir. And this the A&P spends that we've done this quarter, on popcorn. Is this going to continue in terms of the pace of A&P spends behind popcorn in the coming quarters? And if so, will this be the main driver of volumes for popcorn going forward?
Yeah, that's a very important question, I guess. You know, I think the driver of popcorn growth is going to continue to be media, which stimulates trial, in-store display, distribution, and whatever level of trial activities that we do to demonstrate to people that popcorn can be made at home. The fact is that there are something like 40 million users, 40 million households in India who have a pressure cooker. And maybe about 4 million of them actually buy Act 2 popcorn. So we still have a long way to go in terms of getting more users into the popcorn business. Will all 40 million come into our fold? I don't know, but I certainly wish that they would. On the question of spend, I think that's a choice that we make. Meaning that the more the growth we want out of popcorn, the more we have to invest behind it, right? And we will continue to make those investments till such time as we see that there is a better opportunity for us to make those investments, right? So as the business becomes bigger, for sure there will be some plateauing. At some point in time, we can say, oh, by the way, instead of spending 10 crores on this, we can spend 10 crores on something else, and that gives us a better ROI. So that's something that we'll track on a regular basis, right? But that's a choice that we've made as a company, which is consistent with our vision of transforming ourselves from away from being an oils company into being a complete foods company.
Sir, the secondary sales growth of popcorn, would it be similar to the primary sales growth? I mean to say, we would be adding retail outlets and distribution would be expanding. So just wondering if the secondary sales growth is similar to the primary sales growth.
I think we have two very good months of popcorn, and you're right, that's something that we track very closely. Our estimate is that while there would have been some amount of increase in retail inventory, it's not significant. So I think you can assume that the secondary sales growth is very, very close to primary growth. Meaning that it is lower, but it's not so much lower that it alters our read on the business.
Okay. And just one thing on popcorn. Is there any seasonality that you observed in the popcorn business?
There is a general belief in the business that in winter months when it's colder, people tend to consume more, and in summer months, people consume less. However, we will have to, you know, and that's, we've seen that in the past, but I think we have to see whether that's reality or that's only in our own minds, and whether we can break some of those myths.
Okay, finally, so what's the cash on books right now?
But I think it's about, we said it's about 103. Hemant gives me the exact figure, 103.
Okay, sir. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Amar Kalkundrikar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
First question was on, can you share some thoughts on how the consumer behavior is on the especially edible oils part? We are seeing high level of food inflation. Any insights to share from that? Are you seeing any kind of down trading or any kind of insights that you can share on that front, especially with regard to edible oil?
Okay. Well, on edible oils, over the last 3-4 months, you would actually have seen only a very marginal upward improvement, upward movement in pricing. So edible oil inflation actually is far lower than total food inflation currently in the economy. So I think it's a subject that doesn't come up for so much debate. Specifically for us, actually, we've I think more or less held our prices over the last 6 months. So even though some of the lower priced competitors would have gone up by about maybe 5 rupees a liter or something, we more or less maintained our pricing. We haven't really seen any evidence, therefore, of down trading. Had the price gap versus our competitors increased, we could have seen some of that. But the answer is no, we haven't seen that. If anything, Goldlight has actually done reasonably well over the quarter, which is our cheaper priced oil, which is available at about 65 rupees a liter. So we've actually seen some amount of uptrading of people from the lower priced oils, which sell at sub 60 rupees level, into Sundrop Goldlight.
Right. Is Goldlight also sold through, I mean, is it available exactly in the all same retail outlets that are other variants, more expensive variants are available?
Yes, it's a subset of those. It has still not reached the numeric levels of the larger variants of Sundrop.
Okay.
So very much it's a subset of those. There will be some, obviously, some maybe 5,000-10,000 stores which will be incremental. But other than that, a large part of it will be a subset. We've always been concerned about cannibalization,
right?
About people moving across oils,
right?
But it's something surprisingly that we haven't seen. In fact, the last set of consumer data that we did research was that about 10-12% of Goldlight users actually came from Superlight, which is our more expensive variant.
Right.
So more than 80% actually of users into Goldlight come from competitive brands.
This is a new consumer recruitment sort of.
For us, it's a new consumer, yes.
Okay. And what about rollout of Goldlight into other geographies? What are you thinking on
that?
It's
now available across all geographies. And Goldlight together with Popcorn actually is starting to become a big driver of our town penetration exercise.
Okay.
We used to be available in maybe about 1,000, 1,500 towns a year and a half ago. We have already, I think, touching levels of 3,000 towns. So we will continue to do town expansion, and that is driven by these two products.
Okay. And in case of Popcorn, sir, net of advertisement spend, net of A&P, what kind of margins does that product make for us at company level?
We don't ever comment on exact margins of any product. However, one thing we have consistently and steadfastly said is that the products behind which we will invest in will have to have north of 30% of gross margin,
right,
which is net sales less cost of goods. So Popcorn certainly satisfies that criteria. Any product which we are going to invest advertising money in has to deliver north of 30%. That north of 30% could be currently or could be our expectation on a going cost basis. So, for example, peanut butter doesn't make 30% gross margin today, but our expectation is that when we localize it, it will make 30%. So we are willing to invest behind it.
Right. No, that I agree with you, sir. You have been mentioning that steady state gross margins, the hurdle rate is 30%, which is fantastic. But I just want to know, the product has been around for a couple of years. Has it started contributing after A&P to bottom line? I mean, that's basically what I wanted to check.
At this point in time, we still spend a significant proportion of the gross margin, right?
Right.
On A&P expenses. So the answer is, we're still in an investment mode right now.
Fair.
It's a choice we make. If we were happy with a 20% growth, we could be making money today itself. But we are not happy.
Right.
So it's a growth choice. You say, okay, I want a very, very high growth rate, so I'm willing to invest behind it. And even if A&P is higher than the gross margin.
Do you see it starting to contribute in financial year 2011? Marginally, of course, it will not be a straight jump, but at least at maybe break-even stage. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, see, we...
No, not in percentage terms. You won't share that, and that's perfectly fine. But at a broad level, whether that product starts contributing. It's been a very successful product, and basically, when does it start hitting P&L in positive ways, what I'm trying to understand, sir.
Yeah. See, I think, as I said, there are months even this year where we were actually positive, but then we made a choice to invest. So it all depends on how much growth, how hungry we are for growth next year.
Right.
If we are very hungry and we still see a lot of money, getting a good ROI in it, maybe we can defer a decision by a year.
Right.
But I guess we are going to come to it sooner or later, right?
Right.
And that's a key factor as far as
we wanted to wonder if sooner is soon enough. That's it.
Ah, correct. Unfortunately, that's not a question I'm going to be able to answer.
I know.
You'll have to make that judgment, right? Huh?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
No, not an issue. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you good luck.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, you may press star and one on your handsets. The next question comes from line of Amnish Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
have a couple of questions. The first thing that the kind of segments in edible oil market in which we are present, what could be the addressable size of the market which we are catering to, number one? And secondly, what is likely to be the sustainable gross margin of the company in that segment in the long term?
The edible market, edible oil market is obviously of a very, very large size. If you take our volume value share, we probably have, as per AC Nielsen, something like a 5% volume share, 7% value share, thereabouts, in that ballpark. The answer is there a large market available for us? And the answer to that definitely is yes, right? What we have to be concerned about and what we are concerned about is the profitable part of the market, right? Where is it that we can have a continued profitable growth? Because getting volume for the sake of volume is not what our company is about, certainly not today. So we see ourselves as being able to deliver a profitable volume growth, and that's what even the current quarter is demonstrating versus last year, and which is a consequence of the fact that we now have products available at multiple price points in the market. We have an oil available at 120 rupees and we have an oil available at 65 rupees. So the question is, how do we balance this entire spectrum of oils such that we are able to make money and yet have some volume growth? But definitely the key priority for us is going to be to sustain our gross margin. That comes first, and then all other areas will always come second. To the question of what are the sustainable volumes or what are the sustainable margins in the edible oils category, I think it's a difficult question to answer, but if I had to give a number, and I would say for a branded edible oil, and when I say branded edible oil, therefore, in our portfolio, I'm referring here to Sundrop.
Okay.
I'm not referring here to Crystal, which is a brand, but with much lower pricing power, right? Or even Ratha, which is the hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for a branded, good, strong branded vegetable edible oil, you can look for we should be able to look for a range in the region of 30% to 40%, right?
Okay.
Whether it's exactly 30 or whether it's exactly 40, I think will depend on specific movements in commodities. It could vary on a quarter to quarter, month on month basis. It could depend on the specific mix and the initiatives taken by us. But I think that's the reasonable range. Anything beyond the high 30s, I think, may become difficult to support with the consumer. And I think sub-30 is difficult to support when it comes to the P&L.
Okay. So my second question is regarding the businesses other than edible oil. One product which is a mainstay in non-oil products is a popcorn, which we had launched a few years back. But if you look at the product portfolio of your parent company, Conagra, and we complement our portfolio with that, so what are the other lines in which our products are, or you can say the other lines where the Indian market do you think is today suitable enough for product launches? And secondly, that is the overall sales mix of Conagra also tilted significantly towards oils?
So let's answer the first one. The answer is no. Conagra doesn't have the same bias towards oils. They have a brand of edible oil called Vesson, but certainly it doesn't have anywhere close to this share of the company turnover. So it's no. The answer is no. Conagra is very different. On the subject of which Conagra products are suitable for India, that's something that we are in the process of learning. As you correctly observed, Conagra has a huge product range.
Yeah.
And while many food products may not be suitable for India, food products could well be suitable for India.
Yeah, yeah.
So we chose initially from the Conagra range three products. We chose peanut butter, we chose the pudding, and we chose the hot cocoa mix.
Okay.
Of this, we test market all three, okay. And subsequently we went national with two. We went national with peanut butter, and we went national with the pudding.
Okay.
Both products have been well received by consumers, and we see no evidence at this point in time to demonstrate anything which says that the two products cannot be a significant success in the Indian market.
Okay.
Okay. Significant success obviously means multiple criteria will have to be met from a business model standpoint. We'll have to make them locally. We'll have to invest behind them, much as we are doing behind popcorn. But from a taste profile perspective, neither of these two products have got anything other than a wow as far as the consumers who are buying them. Okay? The third product, which is the hot cocoa mix, is something that we are still working on, and we are working with ConAgra to see what is the right product that we need, what are the modifications, if any, to support a revised positioning. And once that is ready, we'll probably go national with that as well. Are there other products in the ConAgra portfolio which can be sold in India? We most definitely think the answer is yes. ConAgra has a large number of products in its portfolio. To give an example, ConAgra has a wonderful margarine. We don't sell margarine in India, but they have a margarine, right?
Okay.
And it's an outstanding margarine. You can't tell the difference between that margarine and butter. It's absolutely great. So that's just one example of several others that are there. Our challenge, to be honest, is not the number of products that ConAgra has, as I repeatedly say. Our challenge is the number of new products that our P&L can allow us to launch in India while continuing to sustain investments behind our big bets that we have already made.
Okay.
Hmm?
Okay, but sir, if we look on the other hand, the portfolio of ConAgra and some of the large categories in the processed foods which are already there in India. So, are there products from ConAgra already in the segments, like for example, say if it is biscuits or say it is malted food or culinary, so is ConAgra having some specific products in these categories, because these are already large and well-developed categories in India, that are there some ready products in their portfolio in existing categories, for example, in the categories which you have entered, whether it is a peanut butter or popcorn or even the pudding, these are the categories which are yet to evolve in a big way in India. But in the existing large categories, are you having enough products or brands which you can bring quickly and they can actually, where you can penetrate much faster because market development is not required to be done?
The answer to that is yes and no, and that's a very important question, and I'm glad you raised it. The answer is yes and no. So, for example, we don't have a presence in biscuits, which is, you know, like edible oils, one of the larger categories in India. However, we do have a presence in beverages, right?
Okay.
Albeit, you know, could be with different products and different positioning.
Yeah.
So the answer is, to an extent, yes, and to an extent, no. One point, though, I would like to make about, and this is an important point about choice of existing versus new categories, is that existing categories offer us the opportunity to dive into a large category and pick up a significant turnover in a much shorter span of time than one would achieve in new categories.
Yeah.
Okay. Having said that, there is a caveat to that, that to enter a new category, the level of investment that is required to go up against the leaders in those categories is also disproportionately higher to gain the right share of mind.
Yeah.
So suppose there is a 1,000 crore category and you want a 5% share of that, that means you are targeting a 50 crore business. Okay, and if it's a 1,000 crore category, even a 5% share in 3 years' time is a significant share. Right? But the cost of that 50 crores could well be higher than building a new category from scratch to 50 crores.
Yeah, that I agree.
Hmm? Because you are investing versus the leader of that category, who is already making a 40 to 50% gross margin and therefore will be willing to defend their position.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm? So I agree, just doing new categories by itself is not the answer, but equally just entering existing categories is not the answer. You need to find the right blend and to find the niches in existing categories where you can enter with a limited spend but make a difference through a unique differentiated product.
Okay, but are there any niches which you have identified in existing categories or which you are going to launch shortly?
That's something that we are evaluating. It's obviously top of mind for us because that's why I would have given you such a detailed answer to that question. So it's something that I won't like to comment on, but it's something that's of interest to us and something we recognize as being important. But we must get the formula right.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Agarwal. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. Mr. Pardeshi, would you like to ask a few questions while we wait for participants to join the questions queue?
Hi, this is Aniruddha Joshi. I just wanted to know what are the other products available of Act 2 in other countries? We have just got popcorn in India, so probably if other products are there, can they be brought as Act 2 is getting a much, much bigger brand now?
Okay, yeah, that's an important point. Well, the answer is yes. Not so much in global markets, but in the US, we sell ready-to-eat popcorn. It's called Act 2 Crunch and Munch, and it's basically a caramelized version with nuts in it. And we also sell popcorn balls, particularly over, I think, towards Thanksgiving. So, towards Halloween, sorry. So, the answer is yes, there are a few products, but the mainstay of it continues to remain hot and fresh popcorn.
Okay, so there are, earlier we were trying to come out with lamb western French fries or even potato wedges as well. So now launching these two products probably now with Act 2 brand, can that be a possibility?
It's a possibility and something that we have evaluated for a while. As you are aware, we did have a ready-to-eat popcorn in Delhi, which we test marketed some 3.5-4 years ago. And at that point in time, it didn't do too well. It's something that we will look at in the future. Having said that, ready-to-eat popcorn is very different from popcorn. To an extent, it competes more with toffee and with other confectionery in the consumer's mind. So those are some important factors that we have to keep in mind, right? It's finally only about an investment choice on what gives us a better ROI. So today, obviously, even within popcorn, between instant popcorn and microwave popcorn, we tend to focus on the pressure cooker popcorn because that's where we see the greater growth and opportunity. But if we see an opportunity in ready-to-eat popcorn, we'll certainly look at that.
Okay, so last question. Sundrop is mainly a meal kind of brand. I mean, Sundrop, Saffola, these people are associated with meal-based products. So now launching of maybe Saffola Jest, which we have seen, which is not a meal-based product, that failed. So still we have seen success in Sundrop chocolate puddings. So do you see that Sundrop can be extended further to non-meal or mid-meal kind of products? So can there be a further brand equity, let's say tomorrow launching kind something like Sundrop biscuits or Sundrop kind of noodles, etc. Can that be a possibility?
Yeah. Certainly the answer is yes, and I'm not answering the question in the context of a specific category, but clearly the launch of Sundrop peanut butter and successful acceptance by consumers has meant that Sundrop is accepted by consumers as a product or as a brand from which they can take the products and have them on a ready-to-eat basis, right? In other words, it can come onto the dining table and consumers can be very comfortable with it, rather than it being just a cooking medium. Similarly, the launch of the pudding, and that was a very deliberate act on our side, to launch snack break pudding under Sundrop for two reasons. One is that consumers could sense the trust and trust Sundrop brand, and therefore there was very quick acceptance of it. But the other also was that for a brand which had primarily been in oil for so many years, could it really extend into the indulgence area, into an area like chocolates? And I think all the consumer work that we've done so far suggests that the answer is yes, that Sundrop, along with the appropriate suffix, can move into the indulgence areas of food products, which obviously opens up a much wider arena for us. There will be some aspects of this strategy which will have to be very closely monitored by the people who own the brand. In other words, Sundrop will always have to stand for health by itself and pure health. But when associated with something else, it can conceivably move into other areas of the processed food market.
Okay, sir. That was my question.
Hi, Sachin. Shirish from Anand Rathi. Just a couple of questions to understand. I guess in the last quarter, we have completed the Pan India rollout for peanut butter. Is that completed or we are still expanding?
No, it's pretty much completed now. I think we are in a steady state as far as distribution is concerned.
Would you be able to comment what kind of growth numbers we have seen on this category?
We were not there last year, so give me a moment. I would think the category per se has probably doubled between last year and this year. And a large part of that growth would have come to us.
I'm just only wondering because in the market, butter is having some shortage. And that is reflecting some great performance on the competition also from Zydus. What kind of growth we would be able to see? Is that growth sustainable, what we are seeing now? Or now we have a steady state and we have rolled out the product. I guess in top 40 cities now we have a pressure. We are now broken the ad also. So do you think that that growth can then grow from here or will fall?
Okay. I'll take the first part of your question. I don't think peanut butter growth, unlike margarine growth, is related to butter.
Right.
So peanut butter is, of course, it competes with butter in the broad area of spread, which is a good 500-600 crore market, right? But if there is a butter shortage tomorrow, and which, as you correctly say, there was also an upward movement in butter prices over the last three months, we don't see people shifting to peanut butter because of that. However, they're quite likely to shift to margarine, right, which is a very similar product. Is there a huge potential for growth? I think the answer is yes. We are so far only present in a 500-gram pack. As we get into smaller pack sizes, which at some point in time we will in the current calendar year, we can for sure we will see growth. For example, in the spreads category, the smaller packs, which are the packs which let's say would be available at less than 50 rupees, will be half the market. So whatever we are selling today, we can probably double the volume if we had a smaller pack, right? And so on and so forth, as we do more trial, as we localize, our willingness to invest behind it will also increase. So we certainly see a huge growth potential, but we see it not immediately related to what the butter price is today. Because butter prices have gone up, they may come down, maybe they don't, but we see it kind of independent.
Okay, in the last conference call, you mentioned that we will look at the opportunity of manufacturing peanut butter in-house.
Yeah.
What scale you would look at and when do you think that we are ready for in-house manufacturing?
See, we are currently evaluating the glide path towards in-house manufacturing. So we have evaluated three options. One is using a third-party co-packer for the product. The second is to import and, you know, repack. And the third is to, you know, set up a plant. I think in the next 2 months, probably, in the next 60 days, we will have a reasonably clear idea of which do we go. Do we go initially with somebody else? Do we go straight away with our own factory? Do we do a bit of halfway house? I think that decision will take us another 2 months.
Okay, very lastly, you mentioned that we have now got a product at 90 rupees a liter price point in Centro. Correct?
Yes, that's right.
And what kind of launch, or is it a still test launch in AP, or we have rolled out, and what is the strategy behind it?
Okay, well, we basically started rolling out a canola-based variant across India. So it's all over India, so it's, the distribution is still being rolled out as we speak. The product is a blend of canola and sunflower, but it is really it's a very important launch for us and for the consumer because the canola is a wonderful oil. It has very low levels of saturated fat and it's a wonderful product to use. So we are in the process of rolling it out right now. Distribution, we are still gaining, Shirish, so it will take us a little while to actually, you know, get complete distribution at the targeted level. Our endeavor is to have products available at different price points to the consumer, right? Today the market varies from 55 rupees to about 140 rupees. We are available at 65 already. We were available at 99, 120, and hence the need we thought of an offering at about 90 rupees. There is a market which exists even at that price point. So we saw that as a logical opportunity and next step for us to enter into.
Sachin, one more point we have been seeing that. Now, we've been putting a lot of A&P spends. Now, where do you see and where do you think the management is comfortable in terms of A&P spends, or is it because of that we are still rolling out new products and then over a period of time this should come down?
We are today running at A&P levels, depends quarter or whatever, but you know, in the region of 8 to 10%. If you look at our benchmark companies, A&P spends are generally in the 12 to 15% range. That's about the range. So we've always said, I think, you know, somewhere around in the range of about 12% is right for a good processed foods company. However, you also have to have the right margin to be able to spend that 12%. But that's about the level, I think, at which it should land. Could it be a little lower or a little higher? Possibly so. Yeah.
Farah, is there any other person waiting?
No, sir. There are no further questions.
Sachin, would you like to have any closing comments?
Okay. Thanks, Shirish. No, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody for taking out your valuable time to be with us today. I hope that we've been able to answer your questions adequately and provide as much transparency as is possible to give you a picture behind the results and what we are doing right now. Shirish and team, just want to thank you once again for taking the time out to set up the conference call. I know a lot of work goes into all of this, so just a very special thanks to you as well. Thank you.
Hello. Yeah, thanks Sachin and thanks Hemant on behalf of Anand Rathi Financial Services. I'd like to thank you all and thanks for your time and thanks for your participation.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Anand Rathi Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect.